We have a special visitor this morning coming to us through Time Warp. So I'd like to introduce to you Betsy Ross. Yo, Betsy. She's sewing. Well, that would be a sermon. What you sow, you shall reap. Sometimes it takes a little to get through the centuries. Okay, we'll do something else. Okay. Praise the Lord. Brother Dearth, are you go ahead with the presentation? Brother, did you get the lights, Brother Maggard?
Under solutions. If this is a reality, then where are the solutions? A place where we can stand and sing the worship of our risen King without regret or shame. The hope for life eternally.
Amen. You go ahead and turn the house lights on for a moment. Amen. It would be an understatement to say that the nation we love, the country we love, is in trouble. And it's not in trouble so much from external attack and enemies. It's in trouble because of internal decay and sin decisions. I've often asked the question, if the church doesn't pray, who's going to pray? Amen. If this church doesn't pray, which church is going to pray? And so I want to call upon the people of God in this freedom service to join our hearts together and to pray for our nation, our country, United States of America. The hope is not in legislation. The hope is not in the next election cycle. Our hope is in a heaven-sent revival and renewal that'll change the hearts of people. Amen. It's not that laws need to be changed. It's hearts need to be changed. And as far as I can understand from Scripture and history, God only moves in response to prayer. Not legislation, not protest, not boycott. He moves in response to prayer. I want to call on God's people. Could you stand across this building? Amen. And we're just going to pray. Amen. I'm going to lead in prayer, but that doesn't mean I want to be the sole voice of praying this morning. I want us to join our hearts and our voices together, and let's pray together. Amen. God, you're real. You're the mighty creator. You rule supremely over heaven and earth. But Lord, you let men, you let nations make their own decisions. And Lord, right now our nation is making one wrong decision after another. We call upon you, God, first for our own hearts. Lord, incline our hearts to seek you. Turn our hearts to you. May we seek you where you may be found and call upon you, Lord, while you're near. May we know our God in these times. May we seek our God in these times. Lord, may we realize that your judgments must begin in the house of the Lord. Lord, move on our own lives. Lord, we repent of our own sin, our own wrong. Lord, the things in our life that displease you. Lord, we pray, God, you would forgive us and cleanse us and give us a new heart and give us new desire and give us a new thirst for your glory and give us a new thirst for your power and give us a thirst, Lord, to see renewal in our land. God, we pray for our country. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, as a country. Lord, we've flaunted disobedience to your law. Lord, we've brought in immorality, everything against your nature and man's nature. Lord, we've allowed sin, oh God, to, in the name of liberty, sin to be rampant and sin to control our minds and our hearts. Lord, we've allowed it to destroy our homes and our marriages and our families. But Lord, we pray for forgiveness. Forgive us as a people. Lord, sin renewal, Lord. Help us to see your glory once again. Lord, help us to realize that we're on the brink of your return, that the second coming of your Son, Jesus, is upon us. But Lord, one more time before his return, send revival, Lord, to churches, to homes, to our nation, that there might be a harvest. And instead of folks being on their way to eternity without you, that their hearts and lives would be changed. They would know Christ, know freedom of heart, be changed, be forgiven, be set free, return to you, O God, and own eternity in heaven. God, we've got to have your help. Lord, we've got to have your help. We're unashamed, Lord, to say that we need you. Hallelujah. Could you lift your heart and hand with me and say, Lord, we need you. Would you say it all over the building? Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord, in our homes. We need you in our marriages. We need you in our schools. We need you in our country. We need you, Lord. We need you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let's pray one more time. God, we know we don't wrestle against just flesh and blood, but we're against principalities and powers and might and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy has come in like a flood. And Lord, according to your promise, we ask that the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. Lord, use us as your vessels, your instrument, your channel. Pour your Spirit through us, Lord, and help us in this evil day to stand against the evil tide of destruction. Oh God, incline our hearts to you, and we praise our Lord and our Savior and our King. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could we worship him? Because we have him to pray to believe in, to trust in, to lean on. Would you praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now we have our special guest. Thank you.
Who can tell me what Betsy Ross was known for? Okay, very good. Betsy Ross. We don't know for certain whether Betsy Ross actually made the first flag, but her story has become familiar to nearly all Americans and provides a wonderful example of a patriotic citizen rising to her country's call. More specifically, it shows how women then made their own sacrifices for their country. For example, in addition to sewing the flag, Ross mourned the loss of her husband, who died a soldier in the war. The story of the making of the first flag with stars and stripes is as follows. Betsy Ross, or to speak more respectfully, Mrs. Elizabeth Griscom Ross, lived on Arch Street, Philadelphia, in a tiny house of two stories and an attic. She was called the most skillful needlewoman in the city, and there is a tradition that before Washington became commander-in-chief, she embroidered ruffles for his shirts. Quite an important branch of fine sewing in those days. Whether she ever embroidered the great man's ruffles or not, it is said that whenever folk wanted any especially fine work done, they always went to Betsy Ross. She could do more than sew, for she could draw freehand the complicated patterns that were used in quilting, the supreme proof of artistic ability in the household. One day, three gentlemen entered her house through its humble doorway. One was her uncle by marriage, Colonel Ross. One is thought to have been Robert Morris, and one was General George Washington. The commander-in-chief told her that they had come from Congress to ask her if she could make a flag. "I don't know," she replied, "but I can try." Then they showed her a rough sketch of a flag and asked what she thought of it. She replied that she thought it ought to be longer, that a flag looked better if the length was 1/3 greater than the width. She ventured to make two more suggestions. One was that the stars, which they had scattered irregularly over the blue canton, would look better if they were arranged in some regular form, such as a circle or a star or in parallel rows. The second suggestion was that a star with 5 points was prettier than one with 6. Someone seems to have remarked that it would be more difficult to make. And thereupon, the skillful little lady folded a bit of paper and, with one clip of her scissors, produced a star with 5 points. The three gentlemen saw that her suggestions were good, and General Washington drew up his chair to a table and made another sketch according to her ideas. Mrs. Ross could make wise suggestions about flags, but how to sew them, she didn't know. So it was arranged that she should call on a shipping merchant and borrow a flag from him. This she soon did. He opened a chest and took out a ship's flag to show her how the sewing was done. She carried it home to use as a guide, and when she reached the little house on Arch Street, she set to work to make the first flag bearing the stars and stripes. To try the effect, it was run up to the peak of one of the vessels in the Delaware, and the result was so pleasing that it was carried into Congress on the day it was completed. Congress approved of the work of the little lady. Colonel Ross told her to buy all the material she could and make as many flags as possible. And for more than 50 years, she continued to make flags for the government. This is the account that has come down to us, not by tradition merely, but by written statements of Mrs. Ross's daughters, grandchildren, and others to whom she often told the story. The significance of the new flag, no one has expressed better than Washington. "We take the star from heaven," he said, "red from our mother country, separating it by white stripes, thus showing that we have separated from her, and the white stripes shall go down to posterity, representing liberty."
Amen. Lots of men and women have died under that flag protecting our liberties. And at this point, we're going to honor our veterans. So thankful for the veterans that we have that were able to be here. And I'm going to ask you, if you're a veteran of our United States military, if you would go ahead and begin to make your way up, and if you could just stand behind me across the platform here, we'd surely appreciate it. Thank you, veterans. Would you go ahead and come? All of our veterans, and so appreciate what they have done in service of our country. And, you know, the importance of that is they were protecting, defending our liberties, one of which was the liberty to have this service today, to worship God and to be able to worship Him. So thankful for these that are joining me, these veterans. And I want us to pause to do this, and this sounds a little like a melancholy observation, but just about 5 years ago, we would have had about 20 or 25 of veterans, and we want to show them honor, and so thankful we have these yet with us. These are real, some of these particularly are real survivors. I don't know if you've noticed it, but they've put Brother Wilson in hospice twice, and he just keeps showing them wrong. 93 now? 93. He just says, you don't know what you're talking about. And all of these are great. And wow, that's a patriotic statement right there for someone who's fought for that, to make that statement. So we're thankful for all of these men, and Sister Dirth is coming to help me honor them. And anything we do is of token nature, but we do want them to know that we highly honor and respect them. I'm going to ask them if they'll just give their branch of service and their time period that they served in, and things of that nature, and we're just going to start in the order they've come up to us with.
United States Army, Sergeant, Germany.
World War II, Supply Sergeant, Philippines.
Army, World War II, Combat Engineers.
Thank you, brother.
U.S. Navy, Vietnam War.
U.S. Navy, Vietnam War.
U.S. Navy, Vietnam War.
Army, Korean War.
Marine Corps, Okie O'Hare.
And that's the smile that got him in trouble during basic training. I'm going to move out of the way. I want them to stand there just for a minute. Amen. Could we stand and show our appreciation and honor of these men? Praise the Lord. And aren't you glad we also call them brother, part of the family? These didn't just serve in the nation's military. They have and are serving in the church military, the church triumphant army. Thank you, brother, so much. Praise God. Got another special presentation for you here. But go ahead.
Daddy said, this is the last time I'll pay Bell. So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape. But he said that's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I live, be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. They fold the flag and attach a silver star as the grieving mother leans against his arm. Then he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. Oh, he used to always say, somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I
is wrong with America. She once held the Bible as her conscience and her guide, but we've allowed those who hold nothing to be sacred, like Sodom of old, to push morals aside. Where are the men who once stood for right? And the women who championed their cause? We must return to the values we left before this country we love is totally lost. We want America. Russian is like a runaway train headed down the wrong track. It's time for the army of God to arise and say, we want America back. I love America, but I do not love what she has become. Our children are asked to attend public schools that in many cases resemble war zones, without even the most basic right of any soldier, the right to pray to the God of heaven. Many times a wild-eyed, drug-addicted, gun-carrying teenager is allowed to stay in school, while our Supreme Court decided to expel God from the classroom over 30 years ago. Something is wrong. Television daily bombards the senses of our nation with the idea that wrong is right, that the abnormal is normal, that the abhorrent is acceptable, and that what God calls an abomination is nothing more than an alternate lifestyle. And it's had an effect. 48 years ago, the number one television program in America was The Andy Griffith Show. Look what we have today. Something is wrong. When our government can pass out contraceptives to children in schools without parental consent, and yet Gideons can no longer pass out the Bible on campus, something is wrong. I, for one, am ready for a change. I will say to my government, I'm not raising dogs at my house. I'm raising children, created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And I'm going to teach them the Bible. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. The only hope that America has is that godly men and women will stand together as one mighty army and declare to the immoral, the impure, the obscene, and the foul, your days of unlimited access to the minds of America are over. The army of God that has been silent for too long is taking America back.
We want America back. We want America back. From those who have no self-control. We want America back. This nation is like a runaway train headed down the wrong track. It's time for the army of God to arise and say, we want America back. It's time for the army of God to arise and say, we want America back.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a message. I want to thank everyone that helped make today special. Thank you for helping all of the skits, singing, presentations, all the food that's been taken care of back in the back, and all the decorating, just everything. And I appreciate it so much. We'll at some point have a list of all of those that were involved. Amen. Appreciate you for being here. That's what makes it special, is when we come together for this emphasis. And now we're going to turn our hearts to the Word of God, and ask God to speak to us in a particular way. I'd like for you to turn to two places in Scripture, two Gospels, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 13. Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 13. Could you stand? And before we read, we're going to pray. Brother Rose just came down with pneumonia, and we're going to remember him. Sister Patty's here. She's been in the hospital all week with her heart. And then Sister Tabitha, okay, there you are. Sister Tabitha's disease has advanced, and she's having some real difficulty. In fact, when we pray, if some of you ladies right there could go and lay hands on Tabitha, she's asked for special prayer this morning to arrest the advance of her disease. Amen. And we're going to, as we pray over the remaining moments of this service. I appreciate everything that's been said and done, but I so desire for God to move by His Spirit and move in our souls in a special way. Let's pray over these needs. Lord, lay your hand upon Brother Rose right now. God, you can heal him of this pneumonia, God. Touch him, Lord. Lord, we pray for Sister Patty, Lord. Heal her heart, Lord, her blood pressure and all of that's going on in her body. Lord, may she feel healing virtue in her body right now, even as we're praying. Lord, move upon her. Touch, Lord, Sister Tabitha, Lord. Lord, arrest the advancement of this disease, oh Lord. Let her experience a divine touch, Lord, right now in her body. May she know this is the moment that she's been healed and touched. Lord, I pray for the ministry through your word this morning, that we'd hear the divine voice far beyond the human voice this morning, that our souls would be helped and inspired and instructed. Lord, move amongst your people. These are your people, Lord. Move in their midst, and may we hear your voice in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I'm reading two illustrations and just enough verses to give us the illustration. And before I read, I want to make one note. I'm going to read the word synagogue. That was what the house of worship was called in Jesus' time, where the people gathered. Today we would call it a church. And so when I read the word synagogue today, think church. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. We learn from other stories of unclean spirits that unclean spirits put bondage and chains upon the mind and the heart of an individual. Folks in that shape have to be loosed or set free from that type of bondage. Then in Luke chapter 13, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. She couldn't lift her head, probably couldn't lift her arm. She was bowed over. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. If Jesus gave the commandment, you're loosed, that meant she was bound and had to be set free, had to be loosed. I want to preach this morning on chains in the church. Chains in the church. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't want you to think badly of me for what I'm about to say. I want you to realize that this is an illustration. Amen. But I'm going to share with you an ironic reality. And what I'm about to share is not to smear our founding fathers. It's not to cancel out the price the revolutionary soldiers paid. What I'm about to share is not what some liberals would teach you, that our country's been problematic from the beginning, ill-founded, corrupt. I'm certainly not a revisionist of history and trying to change and alter what is true. But the irony I'm going to share is the truth. Did you realize that 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, that out of the 56, 41 of them had owned slaves or did own slaves at the signing of the Declaration of Independence? Thomas Jefferson, the main editor and author of the Declaration, owned slaves. George Washington owned slaves. I will make this note. They were people who were prisoners of their times. Many of them wrestled with it. They tried to insert within the Declaration a clause that would mean the freedom of those that are in slavery. Later, when they wrote the Constitution, again, they tried to include freedom for the slaves. George Washington had it in his will that upon his death, all his slaves would be set free. And so there's many redeemable things about these men who were locked in their times. But the irony is that a nation, our nation, conceived in liberty, birthed by a declaration of independence, freedom. Amen. A country whose men and women shed their blood to throw off the yoke of oppression of another nation. That nation had slavery right in its borders for almost another 100 years. Slaves were bought and sold on auction blocks in every major city just about. Sold like cattle. A slave was beaten if he tried to learn to read or write. An escaped slave, he was hunted down with dogs and guns. Families who were slaves were split apart and sold to different parts of our land. I want you to think about this to make a point. A nation founded on freedom. A nation that proclaimed freedom, a nation that fought for freedom, had those within its borders who were bound and fettered and chained. We had slavery in the land of freedom. But listen to me. I want to tell you of another sad irony, and the story is no different. I don't want to talk about the country. I want to talk about the church. Amen. A church that preaches freedom. A church that had its founder shed his blood that I and you could go free. A country or a church in its boundaries whom the word is preached. Jesus will set you free. Right there within that church, there are folks who come every week who are bound and chained and fettered. I'm not making it up. I'm preaching the truth. We have chains in the church. We have slavery in the sanctuary. We have the bound with their Bibles. Oh, thank God we know, we understand. Salvation is about freedom from sin, freedom from Satan, and that's real. Amen. We have a church. We've had the testimonies of a people set free. We have a gospel that says Jesus breaks every fetter and will set you free. And yet we have folks who are fettered and chained, sitting through a worship service week after week. That's why I'm glad the gospel includes those incidents I read to you. Jesus went to church, and whom did he find in church but a man that was in the chains of demonic oppression and bondage. Jesus went to church, and whom did he find in church? He found a woman so bound, she couldn't look up in his eyes. She couldn't lift her hands. She was bowed down. He found those in the church who had chains. But thank God, though I didn't read you the remainder of those stories, there were people with chains in the church, but they met Jesus. And before their story ended, the chains fell off, and they didn't leave like they came. They came in chains, but they left saying, I'm free. He set me free. Aren't you glad Jesus can set you free? Why don't you go ahead and worship him this morning? Hallelujah. Chains in the church. In general, I could just say the chains that bind are sin. It's been read to us already this morning. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I want to talk right now just to those who profess the name of Jesus Christ. You profess to be saved, whether you're young or old. And I want to ask a question. Is it not reasonable to believe if sin bound you and me, but if sin bound you before you were saved, will sin not bind you after you're saved? If sin bound me when I was a sinner, will sin not bind me Once I have become a believer, if I enter into it, I'd say the answer is yes. Jesus gave no qualification in church, out of church, sinner or saint. He simply said, whosoever commits sin is a servant to sin. People don't want to hear it preached on or mentioned, this thing of sin. That's why our nation is walking around in chains, and people everywhere are bound in mind and heart in life. Amen. Because no one wants to make note of it. It's not just something Jesus is trying to scare us with. It's as certain in the spiritual realm as the law of gravity is in the natural realm. Sin forges chains. You commit sin, you bind up your life. You fetter your mind and your heart in your life. Amen. Sin, if adultery will bind someone out in the world, it'll bind somebody in the church. Amen. If relationships before marriage will bind that sin, bind the young people of the world, it'll bind those who sit in a church. If it's lying, if it's cheating, if it's hating, if it's pride, if it's sin, it will bind in every case, every scenario, every situation, every person. Amen. If you are sinning, you're not enjoying freedom. You know, I hear that a lot. I've thrown off what the church teaches. I don't believe what the Bible says. I don't want to hear what the priest. I'm living in freedom. No, sir. You're not living in freedom. You're making chains. Amen. I said, you're making chains. He that commits sin is a servant of sin. I could also talk about the bondage of self. Anybody that makes it all about themselves, they know bondage of mind. They know bondage of spirit and emotions. I could talk about sex. Some say, oh, please don't say that word in church. Well, let me tell you, when I'm preaching, I could call it a chain, or I could call it an inhibiting linked device. Amen. It needs to be called what it is. Why do you think our nation is in so much bondage? Why do you think people come to church and have no worship in their heart? It's because they've been looking at pornography. They've been involved in areas where God says, you don't go there unless you're married. That's why there's no worship. There's no passion. There's no freedom. It's a chain because it's sin. I could talk about Satan. Amen. People think it's just their emotions. No, sir. They're bound by the influence. They're bound even by inhabitation of the power of Satan. I know I get labeled as ridiculous when I mention all these shows and movies about magic and zombies and death and all of this blackness. I mean, I'm not being foolish. You fill your mind with that and you're allowing Satan to forge chains. Oh, I'm talking about chains in the church, right in the synagogue. Amen. They're there because of sin. Amen. But you see, talking about all that, we discover what the real chains are by noting what Jesus says breaks those chains. Again, it was read this morning, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't want to be too simplistic, but I think it's clear, don't you, that if truth sets free, non-truth, lies, bind. If truth sets free, the lie will bind. Amen. Every chain that's not a right out and out sin, every chain is a lie that imprisons, a lie that binds. Amen. You say, well, man, I've heard things like bitterness and anxiety preached as sins. Let me tell you, there may be cases where they are, but listen, please hear me. Anxiety, bitterness, uncomfortableness, guilt, worthlessness, torment, loneliness, inferiority, hopelessness, those are not the chains. How many hear me? Those things aren't the chains. Those are the weight of the chains. Your anxiety, your loneliness, your feeling of worthlessness, Your guilt, that's not the chain. That's the weight of the chain. Now, I got good news. When the chain comes off, the weight of the chain is gone too. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what the chain is. It's a lie. You might have told it to yourself. Your neighbor might have told it to you. Your so-called friend might have told it to you. Satan might have told it. But your chain is a lie. If the truth sets free, the chain is the lie that binds. Oh, aren't you glad for truth? Hallelujah. If our nation needs anything, it needs the truth. Not just somebody spouting off their mouth, but somebody who would dare to declare that thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. This is forever established in heaven. I can't change it. Congress can't change it. Executive action can't change it. An election can't change it. This is the truth. Why do you insist on it? Because the truth will set you free. And every lie will bind you. I won't be able to even begin to touch on them. But very quickly, I'm going to give you some examples. I may not mention your chain this morning, but you can get the essence that the chain is the lie. Some have listened to the lie. I'm no good. I'll never be good enough. I'm worthless. Some that have been abused and taken advantage of here along these lines. I'm used goods. I want to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie that'll tell you you're no good, you're worthless. Now, in a sense, Satan uses lies with a little bit of truth. Because there's a little bit of truth. None of us are good enough for eternal life. None of us are good enough to die for. None of us are good enough. So there's a little bit of truth there. But the chain is, Satan would like to tell you, God doesn't care for you because you're not good enough. Even you're not important to other people, you're not good enough. You'll never make a difference, you're not good enough. I want you to know that's a lie from hell. How do you get set free from a lie? You go to the truth. And though the scripture is replete with responses to that, I'm not good enough. Let me give you just one, just a little glimpse of the truth. In Psalm 139, the psalmist came to the awareness, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of it. Satan lies to you, says you're not good enough. But if you would listen, God would say, I'm thinking about you right now. I was thinking about you when you were asleep. I thought about you when you got up. I've got plans for you. I died for you. Don't listen to that lie. I'm not good enough. Hallelujah. He died for me. He thinks of me. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Another lie is, I'll never get it right. I keep failing. I'm going to go on failing and living for God. I simply won't get it right. That's a lie that binds. And again, though there's many scriptures, let me just give you one. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, that's the thing. I don't really get it right, but he makes it right. And after he makes it right, I start getting it right because I didn't include it. But the next verse says, for we are his workmanship created unto good works. Oh, I try to be as good as I can. I stumble, I fall. Oh, but if I'll let him, he'll make me right. Hallelujah. And once he makes me right, I can live it right. I can think it right. I can be it right. Oh, you combat the lie that binds with the truth that sets free. Amen. Some of these lies are ingrained within the human condition. Let me give you another lie. This morning, I don't fit in. I'm not loved. I want to tell you, I add this because out of the situations I deal with as a pastor in our time, it wasn't always like this. Hear me. How many still listen to me? The chicken's not here yet. Out of all the things that I've dealt with, didn't used to be this way, but right now, in the last few years, one of the biggest things I deal with amongst the people of God is those that will come to me and say, I just don't feel like I fit. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I'm a part. Some of that is ingrained in the human condition, because ever since Adam and Eve sinned, amen, there was a separation. There was a separation from God. There was a separation from one another. There was even a separation within themselves. It's inherent. That is a lie. I said, it's a lie. You don't fit in. Let me ask you one question. Oh, hallelujah. Have you been washed in the blood? If you've been washed in the blood, you are a part of the family of God. You have just as much of a place at the table as anyone else. You're just as much called a child of God as anyone else. You've been put in the body, placed in the body, have your place in the body. You're a stone in the temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a lie. What's the truth? Oh, there's many. Amen. I don't fit in. Amen. Romans chapter 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for. He didn't wait till you got cleaned up to love you. He loved you when you were in sin. But look at Ephesians 1 and 6. And to interrupt right into Paul's thought, he said, to the praise of his glory, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You see, I don't feel like I fit in. I got one question. Does Jesus fit in? Is Jesus accepted? Thanks for the help. Amen. I know Jesus accepted. Two occasions when Jesus walked on earth, there came a voice from heaven that said, that's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is fully accepted by his Father. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm in Jesus. If I'm in Jesus, I'm accepted. Oh, don't listen to that lie of Satan. I don't fit in. Tell him, I'm in Jesus. The Father accepts me. What is the lie? I just can't live for God. I can't do it. I could preach here a long time. I won't. I just wanted to give you the truth that'll break that chain. Oh, what is it? I can't live for Christ. Satan will whisper that in your ear. Every time you make a bobble, every time you get a little off track, maybe even time you blow up big, he'll say, see there, you can't live for God. You can't do it. You can't live for him. Oh, but what's the truth? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave. I can live it because he'll live it through me. I can live it because he loves me. I can live it because he died so I could live it. What's another lie? It doesn't matter. I'm talking about chains in the church. I hear this today. It doesn't matter how I live and do. I can be a Christian and be a part of this world as long as I've been baptized, said a sinner's prayer. It don't matter. I can do both. I told myself I wouldn't offer any illustrations, but just briefly here, after I got called to preach, started preaching, there was a period there. I began to let the things of the world creep into my soul. Dating someone I really shouldn't date, it's not her fault, it was my fault. Amen. And even though I was called to preach and should have pursued it, when I graduated from high school, I immediately enrolled in a secular college. That's fine. Not for me. I was called to preach. And you know what I was telling myself? I can do both. I can be an engineer. And I can be a preacher. And there's cases that will work out. But I'm talking about my level of commitment. Amen. I wasn't committed, amen, to what God had called me to do. And I was telling myself, I can do both. I can marry this one that really isn't living for God. And I can live for God. I can do both. I can have both worlds. I want to tell you, if there was ever a lie that binds, it's that one. In fact, if you try and to listen to that lie, you're uncomfortable in the church. And you're uncomfortable in the world. You're as bound in the world as you are in the church with that lie. You can't do it both. I'll tell you what the truth is. No man can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm so tired. It's not just Satan that's telling folks that. It's preachers that's telling folks that, and churches that's telling folks that. You can do both. You can do the things of the world, partake of its pleasures, and still come to church and name the name. Amen. You say, why? Why are you preaching that? Because that's a chain that'll bind your spirit. There's no freedom of being like being sold out completely to Jesus. No strings attached to the world. Knowing there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. Oh, what a freedom. What's another lie? Another lie is, I have a right to be, and I must be bitter. I minimize nothing you've gone through. Many things that have happened to people are tragic, unspeakably wicked. And the folks that have perpetuated that need to be pursued and prosecuted to the fullest extent of justice. Some awful things have happened to people. Amen. But a lie is that you have to keep on being bitter. The lie is that you have to let what was done to you define who you are and how you live your life. The lie is you were a victim. You'll always be a victim and never a victor. That is a lie. I'm talking about not psychology or education. I'm talking about the power of Jesus Christ to set you free. I'm talking about truth. It's not a lie that you, it is a lie that you always have to be bitter. Just one truth. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive him, for they know not what they do. Amen. They crucified him. They pounded nails in his hand, and yet he refused the bitterness. He said, Father, oh, I want to tell you, you can forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you don't have to be in bondage to your past abuse and mistreatment and ill treatment? You can be set free. Amen. I want to tell you that abuser only wins if you allow the abuse to define who you are and keep it. But that abuser loses the moment you say, Jesus, set me free. Oh, hallelujah. Deliver me from the bitterness. What is the lie? The lie is I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. Just give me time to get out of that sanctuary and I'll settle down because I'm fine the way I am. And I don't need anything. And I certainly don't need to hear that kind of preaching. Oh, that's a lie. Just one truth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, no. That's the truth that'll set you free. I do need it. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need washing. I need cleansing. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Again, I'm just giving you a sampling. Just two more. Two more. Another lie is God wouldn't have me. You're here this morning. Perhaps you're not a believer, but you're like the man in the synagogue. Amen. He had evil spirits. You're sitting there saying, God won't have me. God wouldn't save me. I can't be saved. That's a lie that'll bind you till it drags you to hell. Let me give you just one truth that'll break that bondage, that chain. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise. He that cometh to me, I will in no way, no wise cast him. Oh, I'll receive him. I'll take him. That's a lie. You can't be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One more lie. Amen. You say, I can't be made free. I've got to accept the way that I am. I've got to accept what my lusts say that I am. That is a lie. I'm so tired of hearing even from religious people that you have to accept what your lusts are telling you that you are. That's why our nation's in the shape it's in. Your lust may tell you you're a gender that you're not. But that's not reality speaking. That's the lust. That's the sinful nature. That's the depraved nature. That's not harshness. That's the truth. We do not have to accept what our lusts say that we are. Many truths. Let me just give you this to think about. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, know ye not that in righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, relationship before marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, those with gender problems, no abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, no covetousness. Amen. By the way, he put covetousness right in there with those who are perverted sexually. He put it right there with it. Amen. Revilers or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, here it is. Satan's telling you, you're in bondage. You say, I can't be free. I've got to be what my lusts say that I am. But here it is. And such, do you notice the past tense? And such were the chains came off. And so you were enchained to fornication. You were enchained to adultery. You were enchained to perversion. You were enchained to, oh, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The greatest truth I can share with you, amen, is that the blood of Jesus that will forgive your sin will also wash away the chains of your sin. Hallelujah. You are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. One more truth, I've already read it. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You saw it on the news. I read their story. They were girls at the time, women when they were released. But those three women in Cleveland, taking bondage against their will, chained in that house there in Cleveland, treated like animals, made slaves, taken advantage of and abused. Even the thing that's so sad is the neighbors didn't know what was going on in the midst of the land of the free, in the midst of a free neighborhood. Amen. There were three women in bondage. The neighbors didn't know it. The authorities didn't know it. Family members of the one that took them in bondage didn't know it. But that didn't change the fact that in the middle of freedom everywhere, they were in bondage. Amen. We've had good services. The Spirit of the Lord came by. Good camp services. But that doesn't change the fact that some has been through every service and every altar service right in the midst of the freedom. They were chained. They were bound. They were fettered. But I want to tell you this morning, it's a lie that you have to stay that way. He will set you free. Hallelujah. If I believe anything, I believe Jesus breaks every fetter and he sets men free. I'm going to end with a short punctuation of what I've said. I've preached much on the chains in the church. But in those accounts that I read to you of the man who was in chains of demonic possession, and the lady who was in chains of infirmity and sickness and illness, there's something else in the story. Not just the chains in the church, but on those days, there was also a chain breaker in the church. I preached it, chains in the church. But Brother Quesada, I believe the chain breakers in the church too. If he hadn't been there, Brother Brock, those with chains would have left with chains. But the chain breaker was in the house. Have you ever been there the moment when the chains came off? Oh, I want you, Jesus is a chain breaker. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He'll set you free. Amen. Jesus' mission has never changed. When he began his ministry, when he introduced himself to the world, he took that scroll of Isaiah and he found the place it was to be read that just so happened, quote unquote, to apply to the beginning of his ministry. And he sat down and he read the Spirit. I'm talking about the beginning of his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken. He didn't come to make you rich and give you a new car. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, abused. I'm telling you, he was announcing, I have come to break your chains. I have come to break your chain. That's why the Spirit of the Lord's on me. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom from sin. Would you worship Him? It did not matter if it was in the streets or in the synagogue. When Jesus encountered someone in chains, the result was the same. He broke them. Oh, I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the chain breaker? There was not one chain, not one, that could withstand His power. Look at the scripture. Do you ever find a chain Jesus couldn't break? I'm too lost. I've done too much wrong. I've been involved in too much to be set free. No, sir. Jesus never met a chain He could not break. Oh, somebody shout right there. I said Jesus never met a chain He could not break. Jesus breaks every fetter. And so the lie has bound me, but truth sets me free. I've been taking the source of truth from the scripture, which I should. But who knows what the ultimate truth is? Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. But He also said, I am the truth. Jesus sets me free. Amen. Jesus, Matthew 28, came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I'm not opening another point or another sermon. I'm giving instructions for just a few seconds here in the altars. If you want to be set free, first of all, have faith. Accept the truth that counters your chain. Whatever lies Satan is telling you, put your faith in the truth that counters that chain. Secondly, forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. All bondage, somehow or the other, is tied up in the need for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Even those that have been victim have allowed hate, and I'm not faulting you. I'm just preaching deliverance. Hate and bitterness and thinking ill. And that's all understandable in the reins, in the realms of men. But I'm telling, if you want to be set free, seek forgiveness. And there's only one way to seek forgiveness, and that's to repent. It's not to say a memorized prayer. It's not to be memorized or baptized in water. But if you want to be forgiven, amen, you come to God and say, I repent. I change my mind about things. I change my direction. I'm sorry, but it's not just a sorry I feel. It's I begin to agree with You. Amen. I begin to say the way You see things, God, is the right way to see them. And the way I've seen them is the wrong way to see them. Oh, when you repent, there's forgiveness. Faith, forgiveness. And then there is freedom. You come. You have faith. You receive forgiveness. But then you believe and accept the fact that Jesus has the power to set you free. You don't believe it. You ask that man that came to church demonically possessed. Ask him, does Jesus have the power to set you free? Ask that man in the tombs of the Gadarene, does Jesus have the power to ask that lady that came in like this, ask her if Jesus has the power to set you free. Oh, how many believe she has all power? He can tread on every serpent. He can cast out every demon. He can break every chain. He can dispel every bit of darkness. He can open every prison door. He can open every blinded heart. He's Jesus, the chain breaker. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? I'm done. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Spirit's wanting to speak through you. Let Him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
When a word is spoken, it is weighed as either true or falsehood. The one who speaks is either true or he is a liar. I've told you in my word that the enemy's name means deceiver. He is a liar and the father of lies. You have believed his report. You've accepted what he's spoken as truth, but I would tell you again, he is a liar. He speaks falsehood into your life, and if you accept it as truth, you will be deceived, and surely it will lead to your destruction. But I would tell you that I am the truth, saith the Lord. I love you. I've never lied. I am God. Let every man be a liar, but I am God. I am true. And my word is true, and I've spoken to you this morning, that if you would accept the truth, you would be set free. Don't hold on to those lies anymore. Oh, if you would only see that I have a plan for your life, and it is a good plan. It's not a plan of destruction, but it is a plan with a destiny. I would love you so much if you would just come. Come back to me and know that I am the truth. Come back to me and know that my way is the best way. You're about to walk towards a path that you don't want to go down. Oh, you've been accepting that lie. And you've looked the other way, saith the Lord. But I can see the end as I can see the beginning. And I will tell you that you're about to make decisions based upon lies. But if you turn yourself back to me, I'd make a plan. God, I'll show you exactly the way you ought to go, and I'll lead you towards a destiny that you can never imagine. But you're going to have to choose between truth and lies this morning.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's take His word into our hearts. I'm making the altar appeal right now because I don't believe I just preached a sermon. I believe it's true in this building. There are chains in the church. Let me tell you two things. Number one, then and now, Jesus hates to see anybody in chains. We could show you people in prison in chains. It would move the compassion of your heart. But Jesus sees spiritually, and He hates to see anybody in chains. He hates to see you in chains. The second thing I want to tell you, there are chains in the church. Hear me. But the only chains in the church should be those that are left on the altar. I said the only chains in the church should be those who are left on. I know it goes way, way deeper than this. But I remember preaching or being in services where people tired of their chains would come and put the cigarettes and the drugs and the bad music. They'd come and leave it on the altar. What they were saying is, I came with chains, but I'm going to leave mine on the altar. I'm going to close with this story. Go ahead and stand. I want to talk to young people because when I heard this, it just moved me. I read of a story of she's now a lady, but when she was young, she said, I was raised in church. Went to Sunday school every Sunday. I heard the preaching. I was baptized by the pastor. I had repeated a sinner's prayer that the pastor asked us to repeat. I'd went to youth camps. Go ahead and come. That's fine. Some of you ladies start coming and praying. Amen. I went to youth camps, but she said nobody knew what was going on in me. I constantly heard, you're no good, you're different, you're a klutz, you'll never fit in, you'll never make it. She said, I heard that to the point that by the time I was 17 years old, I tried to take my life three times. Three times. She said, I was in and out of mental health units in the hospital. They didn't know what to do with me. They put me in other institutions trying to help me. But she said, after that last time of trying to kill myself, she said, I went to find a quiet place where I could think how this time I could be successful and nobody could stop me. And she said, the only place there was to go was just a regular bookstore like you'd see at the mall or the green. She said, I went into that bookstore. And as I was thinking, she said, there was a children's Christmas book that caught my eye. She said, I found myself. I picked up that book, and she said, it grabbed my attention because it told the Christmas story from an angel's perspective. And she wasn't even able to tell how it fit in, but she said, at the end of that story, she said, it had the quote of Paul from Romans 8, nothing shall separate you, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And she said, she heard God speak and said, not even you can separate yourself. I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about God loving her. Not only you, not even you, can separate you from my love, because I love you. I love you. She said immediately something dropped off of her life, her countenance. She said she went home and immediately the family members said, what happened to you? A light came in her eyes. She felt freedom. She was set free. It showed an ever. She went to church and people just stopped in the aisles and said, what happened to you? She said, I've been set free. I've listened to the lie. I've listened to the lie. I've listened to the lie. But God told me the truth. Nothing can separate me from His love. The truth set her free. How many like to be set free from the truth right now? You'd admit, I've got a chain in the church, but the chain breaker's here. Would you come with these that are praying? Fill these altars right now. How many like to be set free right now? Amen. You don't have to leave here with that chain. Amen. 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 Someone, God bless these young ladies. Amen. 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 I want to be set free. I want to be set free. Are there others? I want to be set free. I want to tell you, you can be listening to the lies right now that'll keep you bound. Don't listen to the lies. Don't tell you don't the lie that would say you really don't need to come. You really don't need to pray. You really don't need that. You can make it on your own. You can do it. Don't listen. That'll just bind you further. Listen to the truth. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Well, how about it? Anybody else you want to be set free this morning? The chain breaker is here. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to fill these altars and pray with these that have come. And I want you to pray in faith. Pray the truth. Pray the truth within, believing that the Lord will set them free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is power in the
Satan's a liar. He'll bind you with that lie.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, let's pray this morning.